Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
That Turner... Now Kenny Johnson goes out, motion. Heinsohn's looking for him, finds him. Kenny Johnson into the end zone, an 18-yard touchdown.
That gun play action fake, Heinsohn with time. Going to sail it down the field. There's a man open. He's on a dead run. It's Blue Hicks, 25-20, 15-10, touchdown, 84 yards. And the Panthers are having fun at the expense of the Wolfpack. And guess what? That's the most number of points that anybody has scored on the Wolfpack this year. Heinsohn throws it to the near side. And stepping out of the tackle and going for the goal line is Kenny Johnson. And I think they had him out of bounds just shy of the goal line at 12 seconds left of the half.
Touchdown, Bill.
They call it a touchdown.
Rodgers buying time. Going to his right, directing traffic, throws, and it is hauled in for the touchdown by Jonnu Smith. 19. Off the fake, going deep downfield, and it's going to be picked off. You've got Jordan Battle, who's had a couple already this season, and Battle with a big run back for the 44, and the crowd is going wild. Second and 13, the pass is hauled in, and they're going to say that he, did he stay in bounds? They're going to say yes. Meanwhile, the Bengals wind up with the ball. Rodgers avoids the sack, deep downfield, caught at the 35-yard line, and going all the way to the end zone is Freiermuth. Pat Freiermuth, 68 yards. Flacco down the sideline, caught, and sliding to a stop at the six is Higgins. Brilliant, just brilliant. Could have got in, but this way he stops the clock. 137 forces Pittsburgh to use its timeouts and sets up what could be a game-winning field goal.
Oh boy, we got a big football weekend. We're going to start it off with a Donnie Football Friday. It's a Football Friday with Greensburg's own Donnie Football, brought to you by Smale Kia, Route 30 in Greensburg. Donnie Football sitting across from me, Austin City Limits Bechtold to my left. I'm assuming everybody's well. It seemed to be the case before the show, so I'm going to go around the table here. And I just want you to mention one team or the other, and then you'll have a chance to post your defense. It's kind of like Judge Donnie's chambers that you guys have on the PM show. So very simply, who has the bigger game this weekend in our fair town? Pitt or the Steelers? Donnie?
Pitt.
Limits?
Pitt.
Joe? Steelers. Donnie, I'm going to permit you to go first here. Please, your opening soliloquy.
My view here for Pitt is more of a long-term answer, because even though it is not a must-win game per se, and Pat Narduzzi said as much earlier this week when he brought up, hey, I don't care if these guys beat us 103-10, as long as we win the final two games, that's all that matters. Because realistically...
Is that his pregame speech, Donnie, by the way? Is that his answer to Notre Dame's win one for the Gipper?
Yeah, let's go out here and get boat raced. We got two big ones after this. When you look at their schedule, he's not wrong, because this is not an ACC game for Pitt, but this could be a program-defining game for Pitt, because if you beat a team like Notre Dame with the cachet that the Golden Domers have in the grand scheme of college football, it's huge. And it's not just, hey, this is a pesky Pitt team that has like four wins and it's a big upset. This is a Pitt team that has an actual prayer at this point of making it to the ACC championship game, winning the ACC, and possibly finding its way, lo and behold, into the college football playoff. But going forward, a win against a team like Notre Dame can help in terms of recruiting. It can be a feather in the cap of Pat Narduzzi. He has a couple. He had the big win over Penn State about a decade ago. He had the big win at Clemson about a decade ago. He has found his way through with a couple of big upset wins. But this is a time where Pitt is 7-2. They made the right change at quarterback. They have not lost since then, but they haven't played a true test. The win at Florida State at the time was impressive. I thought that was a nice win. Florida State has since crumbled, and they have looked awful since that contest. Pitt has a chance to put a stamp on themselves here in 2025. In turn, they have a chance to knock Notre Dame out of the college football playoff picture, because a third loss for a team that doesn't play in a conference will knock them out of this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they could also put on a performance that speaks a lot to the recruits that could be in attendance. Matt Sigg, I think, is a name that people would like to bring up in this conversation, because after decommitting from Penn State, the legendary Fort Cherry quarterback could be thinking, hey, it's down to Pitt. Maybe Indiana throws themselves into the mix. If Pitt goes out there and beats Notre Dame on a national stage, they have game day outside of the stadium, the first true game day in about 20 years where they do the entire pregame pomp and circumstance.
Yeah.
Pitt has a chance to really put a stamp on their season here. Now, they do, to Pat Narduzzi's point, they have to respond in the final two games of the season, but this has a lot of magnitude when it comes to what this program can be going forward.
I hear all of that, and I don't disagree with any of it, except for your premise. The Steelers have the bigger game. And if I define bigger, I mean the more important one to their season this season. They have the bigger game this weekend. Pitt has the higher profile game. So if you want to couch it like that, the bigger game nationally, the one that more people are interested in, I actually think Pitt has that. They have the higher profile game, and you touched on the main reason why. Notre Dame's in it, and Notre Dame can be finished off, basically. I mean, I suppose there's always a chance, because they're Notre Dame, that they could sneak in as the first three-loss team. But all eyes are going to be on this in the college football world. Like, this is interesting. Notre Dame's going to Pitt to face Mason Heinsohn, this rising young quarterback. College game day, you mentioned. Sellout crowd. Did I mention Notre Dame's involved? It's a higher profile game, I think, across the country, honestly. But the Steelers have the bigger game. There is a scenario here where the Steelers lose and the Ravens win, and your forecast is already right. The Steelers would be in second place. Why? Because both teams would be 5-5. The Ravens would be 2-0 in the division. the Steelers would be 1-2 in the division. So we could wake up on Monday and in all the listings on any site you go to, when they put the NFL standings out there, there is a chance the Steelers will be listed in second place already, which you predicted would happen, Donnie. And potentially out of the playoffs, by the way. Playoffs. They could be behind Kansas City and Jacksonville, depending on what those two teams do this weekend. This is a gigantic game for the Steelers. And Narduzzi, as ridiculous as what he said was, he was actually right that in terms of this season and Pitt's chance at the college football playoff, their best chance, probably their only chance, is to get to that ACC title game and win it. And the Notre Dame game has no bearing on that. As big as I think it is for the reasons you said and more, it's a chance for Pitt to stamp itself as for real. It's a chance for Heinschel to show the country that he is a star. Maybe next year a Heisman guy. Who knows what could happen if he runs the table here with three incredible games. I don't know. All those reasons. But the Steelers' limits actually have the bigger football game for standings, for this season, for where both these programs want to go.
I disagree and think that it's bigger for Pitt for this reason, and I do agree and echo the sentiments that Donnie had in terms of the recruiting. This would be a huge game because especially Pitt is fighting over Matt Sieg with Notre Dame and other different schools for big-time players in this area that Notre Dame has been recruiting very well. Kemon Spell might be the next one from McKeesport.
Well, let me jump in and just ask both of you a question because you're more into the recruiting than I am. If I'm a recruit on the sidelines and Pitt loses by a field goal or wins by a field goal, am I swayed by that?
I think so.
Really?
I think in a way. It's not like a significant sway, but I think it makes a difference, yeah.
Donnie?
The impact it makes.
I don't know if I go that far if the game does come down to a last-second field goal and Pitt loses, but if Pitt goes out there and wins the game and they beat Notre Dame, which is viewed right now is a two-touchdown score upset because it's around 12.5 points as we sit here. I do think a player like Matt Sieg stands on that sideline and thinks, man, this place is absolutely rocking. It's electric. You know, I know a portion of the crowd is
well, I hate to tell Matt Sieg this or say anything about Pitt, but that's probably a one-off for the electric atmosphere, and he has to know that. And a large portion of that crowd's going to be Notre Dame people.
Yeah, which are all fair points. But you have the opportunity to maybe see what the team is building. A quarterback like Mason Heinschel, if they keep him around, this could be a regular thing next season. Because if this kid goes out there and he beats Notre Dame, a team that had national championship aspirations, if he goes out and beats a relatively desperate Notre Dame team, too. We pointed out that a loss knocks Marcus Freeman's team out of the college football playoff.
Likely, yeah.
And then you get a return of that player next season. You can't help but think, hey, Pitt's got a real, you know, they got a real shot of being right there in the ACC.
Well, that could be the downside, too. If Mason Heinschel shows out in this game, then the entire country is going to be like, hey, you know, did you see that kid? Top assistant coach, recruiter, put him on top of our people we're going to go after this season with a $5 million check, that type of thing. That could be the underside of that. I do hear what you're saying. Limits, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
Well, I wanted to ask you quickly, what do you think the ratio of fans is going to be? You said that there's going to be a large part of Notre Dame fans here. What do you think it is? I think it'll be like 70-30, maybe 75-25.
Yeah. I agree with that. I do.
So I do think that this game is significant, even though it doesn't factor into the ACC, because it would make Pitt so recognizable to the point where if you win this game, I believe that they would jump up from 22 to right around 15-16 because of the significant weight that Notre Dame carries. And I think that that helps in terms of moving forward with confidence going into Georgia Tech, confidence going into Miami. I think they're going to go 2-1 during this stretch. If they're going to lose a game, it would be the Notre Dame one. But I think this one can significantly catapult them, whether it be with more eyes on Mason Heinschel and more of a belief and confidence in him from a national perspective, too, that Pitt has a guy. This game can determine if Pitt wins it. that Mason Heinsohn can be a future that Pitt can significantly build on, where last year when they started 7-0 and it was
Even if he plays bad, I still think he's their future. Or if he just plays okay, I don't think all that rides on
this. Right, but if he plays very good and they end up winning the game, it's a program changer.
Confidence in Pitt than I do. You said they're going to go 2-1, and if they lose, it'll be to Notre Dame. Donnie, do you agree with that, that they're just going to go and beat Georgia Tech in Miami after this?
I feel better about that game against Miami the very end of the year than I think any of these three games, for what it's worth. Because Miami, another team, if they would slip up in these next couple of games, then they're coming into Pittsburgh end of the season, likely bad or cold weather or both.
Yeah.
And how much motivation does that squad really have? And we've even seen in the past, we saw a Narduzzi special quarterbacked by Kenny Pickett back in what?
That was 2017. Yeah.
A Miami team that was number two in the country, whether they were worthy of a number two spot or not, they were number two in the country. Pitt beat them.
First time we saw those tiny hands that day.
And he had a heroic
and a big heart. He was great.
He was.
All right. Well, I hear what you guys are saying. Listen, I'm more pumped for the Pitt game. I'm more excited to watch the Pitt game. I think the Pitt game has a chance if they win. I mean, it'd be a huge upset.
No
12.5 points. It would be more enjoyable. Like the Steelers better. I feel like the Steelers better win, or it's going to be a total embarrassment. If Pitt wins, it'll be way more of a celebration, way more fun. You know what I mean? I'm looking forward to that atmosphere and that game more than the Steelers. But what Narduzzi said is actually right, even though he said it in an incredibly clumsy way, that the biggest games are ahead for Pitt. They really are. And we'll forget all about Notre Dame, Donnie. If Pitt wins those, here's the thing. We will forget if Pitt loses to Notre Dame and then wins those two and goes to the college football or goes to the ACC title game. Nobody will care about Notre Dame. And if Pitt makes the college football playoff, if they play Virginia and somebody in the ACC title game, that won't matter. Now, you could say the same about the Steelers. Like, they could lose this game and still come back and beat the Ravens twice. And who cares that they lost to Cincy twice, right? I just feel like at this particular time in the season, what Narduzzi said was actually technically correct.
Absolutely not. You know, it is not an ACC game. I'm glad you brought that up. It's not an ACC game. You know, I gladly get beat 103 or 110-10 in that game. They can put 100 up on us as long as we win the next two after that. But again, our focus is on Notre Dame and getting as many wins as we can.
All right, guys, we're getting ready for Notre Dame. And just remember, I'd gladly get beat 110-10. Donnie, is there a method to his madness with that?
I think a little bit, because I think it's a way to lessen the pressure for his own team. Like, him coming out and saying that, now, yeah, maybe he shouldn't have said, like, yeah, let's lose by 100 points, see how much I care.
Because he's since said what you just said, by the way, just to interject. Narduzzi has since come out and said, I did want to lessen the pressure on my team. But he added, I said that in a very clumsy way.
Yeah, because if you have the team that is a little bit more loose in realizing, like, hey, guys, this is a little bit of found money. I mean, we can still control our own destiny in a way if we lose this game. Because I think him saying that was also a way to tell his team, hey, we can't look at this game as our entire season. If Pitt loses in heartbreaking fashion tomorrow, last second field goal, they also have to pick themselves up quickly and realize, hey, we have two big ones left.
Bigger ones.
And if we win these last two, we still have a shot at this thing. We can't let a loss to Notre Dame break our backs or we're going to be done.
Yeah.
Because we see that happen with some teams. You lose a big, I mean, Penn State, I think, is a good example here. And I don't mean to intentionally bring them up, but they had a lot of their season riding on that whiteout game against Oregon. And that was a hell of a football game. They lost. And if that didn't break their season, I don't know what the definition is, because they haven't won since. They fired their head coach. It has been a season from hell. I think that's what Pat Narduzzi is trying to avoid where, hey, if we lose this game, we're still all right. Like,
avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first 2 orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
See, I don't think that, but Donnie, I don't think that's the way, I hope he's not telling his players that, I mean, or even hinting at that, like, hey, we're playing with house money here, guys. No, this is, you guys are right. This is a big game for the Pitt program. It really is to sort of make them believable, not just to the outside, but inside their locker room. Last year, they were 7-0 and they crumbled. They haven't beaten anybody. They beat Florida State on the road. That's their big win. Florida State stinks. I think the 5 teams they've beaten in the ACC are a combined 5-23 in the conference. This is big for their psyche, too. So in that respect, I agree with you guys. I just don't think it's any way. He needs to treat this game internally like it's the Super Bowl, I think.
I think it's a way kind of back to what I said at the beginning there, where if they would lose, he has to make sure his guys aren't completely flattened by it.
And like, after the fact.
Yeah, like we got to get up off the mat.
Yeah, after the fact.
Yes. Now they could very well go out and win tomorrow, and it could have been sort of a reverse psychology thing. Like, hey, I'm going to put this out there. Everybody's going to pick it up, and Notre Dame knows they're already the team with more pressure because their season is on the line here. This is their, I think one of the reasons, too, why game day is here. This is really Notre Dame's last big test. They finished with, what, Syracuse and Stanford? I might be wrong on that if one of you guys wants to double-check. They got 2 very easy games after this.
Yeah.
If they don't get by this hurdle, they are not getting into the college football playoff.
It's one of the highest-profile home Pitt games, and I heard you and Mulsey talking about that yesterday, and it was a really good topic, of the 21st century. There's no question about that. And I agree with that. I wrote about it the other day in the Post-Gazette that, you know, why did Narduzzi want to downplay it? I don't know, but this is a huge game for Pitt. I just think for the purposes of this season and the immediacy of their situations that the Steelers, if they don't win this game, can you imagine, Donnie, them now fighting from behind? They could go, what are they now in the AFC? The 3 seed, right?
They're the 4.
4.
4? They could go from 4 seed to out of the playoffs right now, heading into Chicago, and then they have the Ravens, I believe. So that would be quite a swing and quite a fall for the Steelers. Your thoughts on all this? 412-928-9370. Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. I think there's another guy here with an awful lot at stake for the Steelers, and that's Aaron Rodgers. I expect him to bounce back and play well, because how can you not against the Bengals? It's literally one of the worst defenses in the history of pro football, if you look at the numbers. In fact, I have a number in front of me here that'll you guys probably already know, that'll blow your mind. They're allowing 33.3 points per game, Donnie. That is the worst in this century and the worst since the 1966 New York Giants at 35.8. It's one of the worst of all time. There was a team called the Tonawanda Kardecks in 1921. I was there.
How'd they do?
Ron was their beat writer. They played one game and allowed like a million points. Yeah, what are the car? What is a Kardex limits? Can you look up
Kardex?
Yeah, look up the Tennessee Kardex. K-A-R-D-E-X. Bottom line, Donnie, my point there is I expect Rodgers to play well, but what if he doesn't? What if what we saw last week was where he's at suddenly? And against this defense, what if he comes out and stinks again? Then what? Then do we start talking about Mason Rudolph? So that's another, to me, huge story and huge ramification of this game.
He had by far his worst game as a Steeler on Sunday night. He had one of the worst games of his career on Sunday night. And we're talking about a quarterback that I will think by the end of his NFL playing days is a top five player at his position in league history.
Yeah.
I mean, four MVPs says a lot. A Super Bowl against the Steelers says a lot, too. I feel like this could go one of two ways, and it does center around the Bengals because their defense wasn't all that much better last season than it is right now. But last year, we had two games of Russell Wilson against a Cincinnati defense. We had the performance that Russell Wilson put on in Cincy, which was pretty similar to what Aaron Rodgers did a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And then when the Steelers really could have found a little bit extra with a nice win in the final week of the regular season, where they weren't just really limping into the postseason, they came out flat again, and the Bengals defense shut them down at home. If we get that, I think it really rings alarm bells. I don't think it will force any sort of change at quarterback, because Mike Tomlin wanted Aaron Rodgers all along. And I think, like he was the Lone Ranger on Russell Wilson, he will be very, very hard-pressed to make a change.
Yeah.
But I feel going into the game, we don't get that ugly performance. If you're ever going to have a get-right game, it's against a Cincinnati defense like this in your home venue. We had Aditi on the other day, and she has seen the Bengals their last two games, and she said during one of those games, during one of the breaks, she said back to, you know, the truck, like the producer and everybody, I don't know if I've seen a defense this bad in the 20 years I've covered the NFL.
Yeah.
And I believe her.
No, it's one of the worst defenses in the history of pro football. That game, I don't remember if you and I were on the day after the first Bengals game, but I watched that pass rush and I thought, I can't remember a game where an NFL pass rush looked more feeble than that.
And they yet again don't have Trey Hendrickson.
Right.
Their only good pass rusher. A guy that sacked Russell Wilson three times in that Week 18 game last season.
Well, and Shamar Stewart is also, I think, doubtful for this game, too. The guy that is supposed to sack the quarterback and can't sack the quarterback.
Yeah, and he's been pretty much invisible on that
he
defense.
He stinks. What do you have, 2.5 sacks and he was drafted in the first round?
They
made Adafe Owe look like Bruce Smith. This guy stinks.
Talking about stealing money, huh?
We have seen, Austin and I have seen high school defenses this season. We will probably see a couple tonight. We will see a couple of more tomorrow that have better defensive fundamentals. And I can't believe I'm saying this because it sounds ridiculous, that put together better defensive fundamentals than what the Bengals are able to do. These guys can't tackle. They can't do anything right. They cannot do anything right. They are not good at anything. They can't tackle. They can't rush the quarterback. They can't cover anybody. They do nothing well.
They've given up 1,078 yards in the last two games.
Which is why I think any sort of thought that Joe Burrow is going to just come back and save their season is ridiculous, because Joe Flacco is playing maybe the best quarterbacking. He's putting together maybe the best quarterbacking of his whole career.
All right, you brought up some numbers there, or at least some statements about the Bengals defense. So I don't even know where to begin. 33.3 points per game. Do you have the Tonawanda Cardex limits and who they were and where they came? Is that Tonawanda, New York? That's Buffalo. Even back then, they sucked.
Well, I thought you originally called it the Tennessee.
Maybe I did.
I didn't know.
It was the Tonawanda Cardex, K-A-R-D-E-X. Let me get some other numbers. Last two games, 537 yards rushing they've allowed, Donnie. Did you hear that?
537.
That's college football stuff.
That's Big 12.
117 points in the second halves over the last three games. That's the third most of the Super Bowl era. 27 points they've allowed in eight straight games. If they do it again this week, it will tie the NFL record. So nobody is engaging in hyperbole of any sort when you look at this pile of crap that is the Bengals defense and you say, I've been watching football for 20, 30, 50, 70 years. That might be the worst defense I've ever seen. If the Steelers don't put up 35 to 40 or more, it's a total embarrassment. Okay, I'm not done yet.
I found the Tonawanda Cardex, by the way.
We'll get back to that in a minute.
The story calls them the one-night stand of the NFL.
So it is the Ron Cook story. This is the Bengals' worst stretch since the final days of Marvin Lewis. Listen to this, Donnie. And that was 2018. The Bengals started 3-1 that season. Then they hit the wall, allowing 39.5 points per game between week 6 and 10. And on November 12th, 2018, they lost to the Saints 54-14. And guess who got fired as their defensive coordinator that day?
I don't remember who their D coordinator was. Terrell Austin?
Dr. Terrell Austin got fired. Now he's here. What are we doing? What have we done? Now he's here. I don't even know what else to say, Donnie. There's more things here. There's 18 more numbers. Does it matter? Do we get the point? It's one of the worst defenses that has ever roamed the earth in the NFL. And that's not an exaggeration.
Correct.
It's a fact. Back to the Tonawanda Cardex.
The Tonawanda Cardex was a team in 1921 in the NFL. It was known as the APFA, and they only played one game.
What a bad game, 45 Donnie.
45-0. They only played one league game, and they partly folded because the fee to be in the APFA rose from $50 to $1,000,
oh,
and the Cardex couldn't find the money. And
I know one thing. Ron wasn't going to pitch in. Go
ahead. They played against the Rochester Jeffersons, and the story says, quote, the final reason, the on-field product was horrible.
What does Cardex mean? K-A-R-D-E-X. Was that a company? Or why were they nicknamed the Cardex, Donnie? Any idea? I didn't know they existed, by the way.
They played at Tonawanda High School, too, by the way.
In Buffalo?
At a high school field.
That's amazing to me.
So it says their full name here, the Tonawanda Cardex Lumbermen.
Yes. That is fantastic.
They were active from 1916 to 1921, but just that one game in the higher league.
That's the team that Ron broke in covering. They used to travel by train. Ron used to drink in the train bar, Donnie. I don't know.
Was he using a quill to write up his story back then? Maybe the carrier pigeon took it off.
Maybe. Yeah, the carrier pigeon. The fan text line, you can communicate with City Limits, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Why is Terrell Austin here then, Donnie? I guess just to be Tomlin's de facto sort of, you know, yes man, for lack of a better term, right?
Yeah, I mean, he just joins a line of assistant coaches that really aren't up to snuff to be in their position. I feel like on their staff, I know a lot of people give praise to Danny Smith. I mean, and yeah, he certainly has his ups and downs as the special teams guy, and everybody loves him. But it feels like Arthur Smith is really the only assistant that is in a position where he's pretty worthy. I know he hasn't had an A-plus in every game, but there's nobody else on this staff that is either a true young up-and-comer, like this guy will be a head coach one day,
right,
or was recently a head coach and could very well be a head coach again.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building
a life. For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Say, Donnie, Football Friday, we were arguing in the first segment about who has the bigger game at Acrisure this weekend, Pitt or the Steelers. These two guys say Pitt. Really, some of that is long-term recruiting, program profile, things like that. I say the Steelers for the immediacy of it. Man, I was just looking at the standings again. It's pretty mind-blowing that if they lose and the Ravens win, and they'll be in second place in the division. And then if either Jacksonville or Kansas City wins, the Steelers will be out of the playoffs for next week anyway, which is amazing to think where they were 3-4 weeks ago, Donnie.
Yeah, and then after the Indy game even, just 2 weeks ago,
yeah,
Joe, they come off a game in which they beat a team that was the AFC's best to that point. And another little key, and we always like doing this. Sometimes it pops up in the numbers game, but I do always like throwing this out there, that in the last 30-plus years of football, the percentages of making the playoffs based on what the record is through a certain amount of games.
Yeah.
If they drop to 5-5 here, their percentage of making the playoffs goes to 30%. And they certainly have the uphill battle because we know who has a more daunting schedule. And it's the Steelers by a long shot compared to the Ravens, really, except for those last couple of games. So they would really have to work to stay afloat, stay alive, and hope that the Ravens lose some games down the stretch. But that's hard to bet on because I do feel like that team is coming around. And you can call me a Baltimore bootlicker all you want, but I have a bad feeling I'm going to be right about this, that the Ravens will pass them up sooner rather than later. I don't think it'll be this Sunday, for what it's worth, but we still have about a half season to go here, and they are right on their heels after a start of 1-5.
Right. And they're playing a team that whose defense is so unspeakably bad. Here are the worst points per game ever. Are you guys ready for this before we get to the calls as to which is the bigger game? At 412-928-9370. We mentioned the Tonawanda Cardex, Donnie, gave up 45 points in one game. The Muncie Flyers in 1920 also gave up.
Flyers.
The Chuck Muncie Flyers. The New York Brickley Giants. Have you ever heard of them, Donnie?
I didn't know that Brickley was thrown in there.
Yeah, I don't know. Andy Brickley? I don't know what that is. 1921, they played two games and allowed 36. The Rochester Jeffersons moving on up, except they were moving on down in the defensive rankings.
That's the team that whoever they are is beat.
Yeah.
Or lost to, 45-0.
When you're losing to the Jeffersons, the Rochester Jeffersons, by that much, you're not having a good year.
No.
The Louisville Brecks, Donnie, 35 points a game. You ever heard of them, the Brecks?
No, and it should be telling to people that you're naming teams that were around 100 years ago.
Yes, and we're not three games. This isn't like, oh, the Bengals through two games are on pace to have one of the worst defenses of all time.
We're a half season in.
Oh, my God, and it's only getting worse. And Hendrickson's not going to play. And they're just ahead of the old Card Pit Combine of 1944 that gave up 32.8 points a game.
Was that the Steelers and Cardinals combo?
Yeah.
World War II?
Yeah. Not the Steagles. This was a different one. The Card Pit Combine. Ron covered them too. Let's hit the lines limits, shall we?
Yeah, let's start with Eli. He's in Salzburg. Wants to talk about which game is bigger.
Maybe it's Eli Holstein calling, Donnie. Hello?
Hi, yeah, I just wanted to talk about the Pitt and the comparison between the Steelers and Pitt.
Please.
I think that it's a bigger game for Pitt. And I don't think that they'll beat Notre Dame, but I think that they will probably fall behind maybe early but come back late. But what I really wanted to talk about was the Steelers, and you guys are talking about how bad the Cincinnati defense is. But with the money that's been invested in their defense, the more embarrassing defense to me are the Steelers.
And
the whole thing with these Tomlinisms saying that he doesn't live in his fears, I've never seen in pro football where a coach makes the opposing quarterback, he puts him on such a pedestal. He acts like Joe Flacco is Joe Montana. They lost to them the last game. I mean, he diced them up, and I just think it's an embarrassment for the Steelers defense more than anything. I don't think the Steelers will beat Cincinnati this week.
His team does tend to make Joe Flacco look like Joe Montana. They certainly did on that Thursday night, and I think to the point there that Eli made, I don't necessarily disagree, Joe, because I think you do have to comp the price tag a little bit and say, hey, yeah, the Bengals defense is awful, but we knew they would be awful. They were terrible last year. Joe Burrow put together legitimate MVP numbers. Jamar Chase was the Triple Crown winner as a wide receiver, and they still missed the postseason.
Yeah.
We knew they would be awful. They're awful again. They're getting great offensive output. Joe Flacco had 470 last week in four touchdowns, or that, you know, 2 weeks ago before their bye week. 470 and four touchdowns against the Bears. They lost the game. The Steelers defense, the price tag next to it, the coaching surrounding it.
Yeah.
And on top of that, all of the things that were said in the offseason, and Juan Thornhill, we hardly knew ya, guys like that. There's no question to me that it's the more overrated and more disappointing defense.
It might be the more embarrassing defense. We were just talking about a team that compares to the Louisville Brecks in all-time points per game allowed. And yet, you just said it, the price tag and the bragging, and you have the 29th, 28th ranked defense in football. They might be more embarrassing than the Bengals. And we were talking during the brief intermission there, Donnie, about how I think a guy who's really going to be tested this week more than he has, and people are making him sound, you know, like he's some sort of star here, or at least like he's been just amazing. Wow, is Kyle Duggar. I'm still very curious why the team we watched last night go to 9-2 just handed him to the Steelers. And one thing that I didn't hear one single human being talk about on the broadcast or afterward was the first touchdown that they gave up the other night right before the half. It was McConkey right down the seam from about 8 yards, something like that. I don't remember the yardage, maybe a little longer. It looked to me like Kyle Duggar made the wrong read, and he's going to be stressed in this game. Be sure of that. And he still needs to prove himself in many, many ways that he's a viable player. But did you see that play the way I saw it? It looked to me like he made the wrong read and allowed a touchdown.
Yeah, and sometimes it is tough for us to really know what a guy's assignment is on a given play, because I think that's where a site like Pro Football Focus misses the boat at times, because we can't just watch a play and know for sure unless the player tells us what his assignment was on that play. So maybe it was something.
It was a 15-yard throw.
Yeah. So maybe it was something that took Kyle Duggar out from that play, and it kind of just left Brandon Echols on an island. And Echols, even though he's been a nice little surprise this year, he got burnt by...
You never want him on an island.
He got burnt by a pretty good receiver. And a pretty good quarterback like Justin Herbert made that easy pitch and catch for the touchdown. I also think he gets a little bit of a pass from people because they were still riding on what he did, or, you know, what his effort was like in that first game he was with the Steelers against the Colts, where not that he made any eye-popping plays.
He was fine. He was stable.
He joined the team 48 hours before the game, and he played all but one snap.
Sure. Now let's find out if he's any good. And my bet would be that he made a bad play there, because if a third down play, if you're allowing their best receiver from the 15-yard line to run right up the seam into the end zone one-on-one against Echols, and there's no help, then that's a bad defense. It looked to me like Duggar made the wrong read. He went to go double cover somebody else who was already covered, and McConkey ran right by him. So I would be shocked if he didn't make a mistake on that play. Either he did, or it was a horrible scheme.
Yeah, I mean, I completely feel your point there. It's just tough to always know like what the guy's assignment is, but either way, there's nobody back there for help, and that led to, I wouldn't say in that game, a touchdown that put it away. At least it didn't feel like it at that point. Realistically, it did, because that made it,
that was
what,
a backbreaker,
12-3?
Yeah, with 12 seconds left in the half.
Yeah. Now, remember that they were playing the short field on that drive, because that was one of the turnovers.
What do we think of that turnover, by the way? That's been another story this week, is DK Metcalf saying that I cut my route flat. That wasn't Aaron's fault, is essentially what he said. You buying it?
I mean, if that's what happened there, I think it's good accountability to take, because we've had so many receivers in the past say otherwise, or, you know, not take any sort of accountability on the play.
Yeah, and I agree with you.
I think Metcalf has a lot of reasons to be upset with how things are going for him, because a lot of his numbers across the board are as bad as his rookie year or as they've ever been.
Yeah, I'm going to get to that in a minute. First, it's 10:58. Make the smart call, Buell Insurance, 724-443-5610. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. And it's partly cloudy today with a high of Joey Porter Sr. and a low of 31, Donnie Schell. Joey Porter Sr., of course, 55. Fan weather brought to you by Myers Lager, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Couple different things. Wait, what were you just talking about, Donnie? Who were you just talking about?
DK Metcalf.
DK Metcalf. I felt like even before he got here, that's a good player and a pretty explosive player. But he's not one of the guys in the league, and he's not going to be here.
You know, there's a handful of those. He's not a top 10 guy even in the NFL. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and there was a point made by Steve Palazzolo, who we have on Thursday afternoons. He made this point way back when the move was made of, yeah, I'm interested to see this, how this works, because DK Metcalf, at no point in his career did he go into a season where he didn't have another really good receiver next to him.
Right.
Tyler Lockett was at his best in Seattle the same time that DK Metcalf was coming into the league. And then they drafted Jackson Smith and Jigba, who was a very worthy player in that offense. And now he is one of the best wide receivers in football. And funny enough, the rap on him was, oh, this guy can only play in the slot. Well, I think he's bucking that trend a little bit in 2025. But the big worry was he never went into a season where he was just the guy and there wasn't another really good player out there with him.
Well, that's certainly the case this year. And Aaron Rodgers just spoke to that the other day about, listen, somebody else is going to have to do something. Do we have that clip, Limits?
Going to make plays because DK is a super talented guy, but we haven't been able to get him the targets that we want to because he's getting doubled every third down.
Getting doubled every third down, and then Rodgers went on to say, we need to find somebody else to throw. Other guys have to get open, is what he said, Donnie. That was the exact quote. Other guys have to get open. And then the other night, Calvin Austin did get open late in the game, and Rodgers threw it right in his hands, and it was like a hot potato. He caught it, and then literally, it seemed like, threw it to the Chargers defender for an interception. What is he doing? And then Rodgers, they showed a close-up of his face, and I think he used a bad word and said, what are you doing? You know what I mean? What are you doing? He has to be massively disappointed in the supporting cast beyond DK. And I would imagine massively disappointed that they didn't make a deal. I would be anyway if I were him. And Marquez Valdez-Scantling is a guy that he clearly lobbied for, even though Tomlin said he didn't. And I have to believe that that's going to be a guy he's going to throw to, right? That's going to get targets.
That's why I feel like he is going to enter the offense sooner rather than later. I know that Tomlin will poo-poo what MVS can bring to the Steelers offense and say he's just a warm body, he's just a practice squad guy. But if this keeps up, what's it hurt to just give the guy a helmet and see if he can still do anything?
I totally agree. Donnie, we've never done this before. We're a little over time. It took a while for the calls to roll in. We have Ray Fittipaldo on the wait. We're going to go through a couple calls and Limits. The only thing we get here is people get 5 seconds to make a point and then we move on. We're going to let you on the air. You make your point. There's no hellos or goodbyes. No pleasantries exchanged. Make a point, we hang up and move on. Who's first?
Very quickly, Rob on the road.
Rob, talk.
Oh, my. I'm ready for this Pitt football game because, absolutely. Aaron Rodgers, I've never seen a man so defeated after throwing an interception. He looked like I do after I'm watching it, after 15 years of watching the Steelers.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Rob.
5 seconds.
Next up, Paul in Pittsburgh.
Go, Paul.
I think it's a bigger game for Pitt because Penn State coaching staff, you don't know where they're going to be. We could take advantage of, recruiting in the state and things like that. I also think it's odd because both of these games, Pitt lost SMU last year. It's same old Pitt if they lose, and if the Steelers lose, then it's typical 500 Steelers.
Next.
Here's our guy Paul in Washington.
Paul. Oh, boy.
Quickly, Paul.
Giuseppe and Donnie Football. What makes you guys think the Steelers are even going to win another game? I told you at the beginning of the year, I agreed with Joe's premise. It's going to be a train wreck at some point. This could be the wreck coming Saturday when Joey Porter Jr., who can't keep his hands to himself, he acts like a guy on his first date. But they're going to be chasing patients.
Donnie, I think we'll end it there.
That was great. That's a good one from Paul. I figured if we let him go a little bit longer than 5 seconds, he would have one of those in the holster.
Wow. Nothing left to add here.
Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
With TikTok ads, we went from 250,000 downloads to over 1 million downloads in less than a year.
I'm Eve.
I'm Anam, and we're the co-founders of Alinea.
Alinea Invest is an investing app for Gen Z.
We run 50 new ads per week with 3 variations thanks to TikTok Smart Plus campaigns. If you're not advertising on TikTok, you're missing out.
Drive more app downloads only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In-app only.